Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Marlene Lockhart and I speak with Tick Segerblum, the state senator, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Nick the Archangel, Mary Lau, and Ben Botkin. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Tick Segerblum, the state senator. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here.
And thank you very much for pinch hitting for us at the last minute. We do appreciate that. Let's start out with what you know that's going on privately. We are hearing things from the Trump Organization and from Jeff Sessions. What do you know regarding legal and medical marijuana?
Probably nothing more than what you've read, but I do have a pretty strong opinion that at the end of the day, Trump really can't afford to come after the states on marijuana. I think it's a state's issue. Even Dean Heller has taken a position telling Trump to back off. So I just don't think it's something he has enough problems on his hands without trying to come after us.
And when you look at the tax base for Nevada from marijuana, that would be a pretty big hit to take if we were going to take that.
$100 million is a lot of money, so it would be huge for Nevada.
What do you think about the whole idea of Nevada being a sanctuary state?
I strongly support it. I think we need to... we have a huge immigrant population, lots of undocumented people, and the fact is that if they're worried the police are coming after them to deport them, they're not going to come forward with crimes when they're victims of crimes. They're not going to report the crimes they see. So it's a huge law enforcement problem. And I think we just have to stand up and say, not in our backyard. You're not going to come in here and take our hardworking people.
But you are seeing a huge stepped up enforcement from ICE at this point in time. Immigration attorneys I talked to are very concerned. It's not just the criminals that are being picked up. It's everybody.
That's anecdotal. I haven't heard that in Nevada per se, but I know everyone is scared to death, and that's not happy, not a good thing for Nevada. I mean, we really rely on immigrants, particularly in Las Vegas, and if they're scared to death, that ripples throughout the economy and society and the schools, their kids. So it's just devastating.
What kind of... word are you hearing in the building about the sanctuary bill? In the halls, there's a lot of rumbling about it. Do you sense general support from the Democrats?
It's too early to tell. Hopefully we'll have a hearing on it and get a better feel. And there may be other ways to deal with it than just make us a straight sanctuary city or state. But the reality is I think it's important that we send a message to our community that Nevada stands behind you and if at all possible, we're going to keep the federal government off your backs.
Let me ask you about, in the last session, the bill died of people having the ability to have assisted suicide. Do you think that that is going to have a better chance this time around?
Absolutely. It's going to pass hands down. What the governor does, I'm not sure, but it's going to pass hands down. It's bipartisan. You know, Senator Kekever and Senator Parks are the co-sponsors. I support it strongly, and I'm pretty confident it'll breeze through, really.
And do you have confidence in the assembly side as well?
Absolutely. I mean, this, I don't know if you've been much to the building, but this there's never been a legislature like this one this year. It is so progressive and so positive and so young and energetic. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
And also, just let me point out, if you go to the assembly, well, even the Senate, I mean, you look at the age and then you look at the color and the sex. I mean, this is the most diverse we've ever seen by far. This is really Nevada. Before, you know, it was a bunch of old white guys kind of telling the rest of us what to do. Now it is, the legislature reflects our communities.
And do you think the governor is on board with this?
That I don't know. I worked with him before when we tried to get rid of the death penalty. I worked with him on trying to let felons vote. We had the bishops calling him, saying please. So I just don't know. He's got his own ideas about a lot of these things. He is pro-choice, which is a good sign. And again, it's the will of the people. The voters in Nevada want to have the right, not that they would exercise it, but they want to have the right for assisted suicide.
Tick, the big elephant in the building are the ESAs. It seems like everything big is going to hinge on what happens in the end game. What are Democrats prepared to give the governor to defeat the ESAs?
To give the governor?
Well, if the governor wants ESAs, what will the Democrats give up?
Right. Not what will we get. What will we get in return for ESAs? And that's the $64,000 question. Our Congress.
What do you want?
Well, I've told people just off the record, I would take $1 billion. But otherwise, I don't think it's worth negotiating. It's public schools are so the foundation of the Democratic Party, and for us to fund people going to Gorman just doesn't make sense. But you know, everybody's got a price tag, and if he said here's $1 billion, in new taxes, then. I'd talk.
And where would that $1 billion go toward?
Well, I think it could go to schools, it could go to museums, it could go to mental health, it could go to roads, it could go to state employees, it could go to health insurance. I mean, our needs are unending. It's hard to even decide, but primarily for schools.
Okay, so where would that tax money come from?
Well, you could increase the sales tax, you could increase the tax on, you know, the tax that we already passed for businesses. You could have a higher tax on alcohol, a higher tax on cigarettes. You're going to have some marijuana taxes. You could change the property tax formula. I mean, our state is so undertaxed. You could, everywhere you look, people could pay more taxes. And everywhere you look, we need more revenue. So it's just like, where do you start?
I watched some of the hearings for the lift on the property tax, and to hear some of the opposition, they certainly don't feel under tax. What do you think the odds are of actually lifting the property tax?
Probably zero. I mean, we need two Republicans in the Senate. We need one Republican in the Assembly. But the reality is, if there's a deal to be made, there's three people right there that can do it. So we just need to find those three people and figure out what they want.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll all recover from this threat of $1 billion of new taxes from Dick Segelblum. We'll be right back after this.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, Marlene Lockhart and I continue our conversation with State Senator Tick Sagebloom. There's a lot of talk about enacting an agreement among the states to elect the president by national popular vote. Is this not political suicide for Nevada? We would never see another presidential candidate. Television stations and radio stations would go bankrupt. It just seems to be foolish to me.
Well, I'm not sure I'd worry about the television stations going bankrupt, but
trust me, if it weren't for political...
I agree they would. I'm not sure I worry about that. I mean, if they want to go bankrupt, that's fine. Maybe the RG will go with them. But the reality is...
They don't get that much political advertising anymore.
Yeah. But the reality is it really would change the dynamics for Nevada. And as long as we're going to be the top four states, which is not clear for 2020, but if we could be one of those top four states, then I wouldn't give it up, because that does just change the whole dynamic of the political process in Nevada. And frankly, it's the best thing that ever happened to the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever, because Nevada would become irrelevant.
Right. Which we are most of the time anyway.
Yeah, but not during election cycle.
Well, the last two, that's because Harry Reid made us one of the first four states, and that's going to change now that Harry Reid's gone. So if we're back in the pack, it's really irrelevant again.
No, not if Nevada stays as a battleground state.
Right, but I'm just saying that's because the DNC, through Harry Reid, picked Nevada as one of those four states. There's a lot of animosity around the country to having Nevada one of those first four states.
I agree, and I hate to sound argumentative, even though I'm going to be, but there are 11 states where it's a toss-up whether it's going to go Republican or Democrat, and Nevada at this point still...
What you're saying is in the fall.
And that's where the money is.
Right.
Tick, how do you feel about changing the caucus to a primary in Nevada?
You know, I think it's time. As long as we don't lose our status as one of those first four. We were picked as one of the first four because we're a caucus. They go caucus Iowa, primary New Hampshire, caucus Nevada, primary South Carolina. But if we can keep that status as one of those first four, I think it's better. I mean, the reality is it's impossible for the political parties to create this machine every 4 or 8 years out of whole cloth and then make it function properly. It's just a huge burden on us. We end up with people really upset because of long lines, there's not enough volunteers. It's just very difficult for the political party. And the state reaps so much benefit from out-of-state money, from the campaigns, that I think we could afford to have the government pay for our political primary in February. But it's got to be just for presidential. We'll keep our June primary for the rest of us.
Does it surprise you that the Republican state party is still just a total mess?
Not really, because, well, I shouldn't say that. You need a political leader who's willing to get in and get dirty, because when you get into a political party, you have to learn. It's a mess, and you have to be willing to just get in there and spread it apart and find out the core and get the handle. But in the meantime, you're going to have all kinds of uproar. Harry Reid, to his credit, just got in there. Like a lot of other things he's done, he sees a problem, he just gets in there and tackled it and took it over. As Governor Sandoval just has not been willing to do that. But unless somebody like Sandoval or Reid actually steps forward, it is just going to be a mess, and that's what's happened to the Republican Party.
What's going to happen to the Democratic Party now that Reid is gone?
That's the $64,000 question. It's really going to be difficult, because he was such a leader on a national level. He would bring resources to us. He would keep us under control. And, you know, having been chairman of the party for 4 years, without somebody like that helping us, you have basically nothing. You're in charge of nothing, because there's no automatic funding source. I tried to pass a law that would charge $1 a slot machine tax that would go to the political parties. It would be like $100,000, and people went crazy. Oh, my God, we can't do that. But there is no automatic funding source. So political parties are broke. As soon as you win, usually you're faced with a huge deficit already.
And that's the way it goes, because if there's any money left in the bank on election day, you fire the consultants for doing a bad job. What did you think of the rollout of Ryan Care and how it might affect Nevada?
Well, how it affected Nevada would be absolutely devastating. It really would just... The thought of that was just, I think everyone's starting to realize that it's become a part of our fabric, and from the doctors to the hospitals to the insurance companies to just the 400,000 or whatever number of people that belong to it. But in a small state like this, it would just really be devastating. Now, whether he's got a method to his madness and he thinks he can split the baby and bring the right wing into the thing and then bring the left wing into the thing, I don't know. He may be better at politics than I am, but it just seems to me that he's trying to pull something off where he's never going to make anybody happy and not going to work.
Well, the CBO numbers, look terrible as you go down the road, but the reality is the Obamacare numbers look just as bad. And Senator Reid on this program said a couple of years ago that the single payer was the goal. And do you think that that may end up being the goal here, or is it just too entrenched?
You know, it's hard to believe Trump could do that, but if he's willing to do it, I support him. I mean, at the end of the day, we are the only country that doesn't have single payer. It is the cheapest way, the simplest way to do it. Obamacare was a step toward that direction, and it's going to happen eventually. It's just a question of whether it happens on their watch or our watch. But my personal opinion is Trump's going to be one term. The next president's going to be a Bernie Sanders type person, and we are going to do single payer.
And that's where we have to leave it. A lot to think about. Thank you, Senator Sigafoon. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
And no marijuana.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Nick DeArchangel is here, Director of Communications with the Nevada State Education Association. Mary Lau is President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada. And Ben Botkin is the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you all here, along with Marlene Lockhart. So, Mary, jump right in here. We were having the conversation about Ryan Care. What are your thoughts about where we are right now?
Well, I was just wondering. I was waiting for Tick to say, because as we talked about, the man is a wealth of knowledge, that Ryan Care has been expressed as this one is a reconciliation bill. There's only so much you can do in a recon. That's it. And then you have to come into some executive actions, and then there's going to be one more bill. And the problem is, do they trust the process to make sure that all three pieces come together? And that's what Mark Amity was talking about when he gave his speech before the Assembly and Senate the other night, was the process. You know, Speaker Ryan promised regular order. Then we didn't have regular order because he didn't bring forth witnesses and debates and stuff like this. They just had a debate amongst themselves and trying. It was almost like a reconciliation process itself. So are we going to get the next phases of it? Because they can only do this much right now. And then does that come into where they are going to do the block grants into the various states? Because Trump has said he supports the Medicaid provisions and stuff, but they're going to push that money down the states and say, you spend it on your population as you want to.
But, Mary, the savings that they're anticipating from the cuts in Medicaid are going to the upper 1%. So where will be the money going to the states to
How
continue?
How does it go to the upper 1%? What does health care have to do with taxing?
In the bill, they have tax credits. That's what the whole huge debate is about, because the Medicaid funding, as it is now, is cut $800 million, whatever the number is, and the tax credits are $800 million. And that's the rub that the Nevada's budget is built on Medicaid. The whole premise for moving the mental health folks out of state funding is to be picked
I'm not in favor of moving the mental health people until we know that this whole thing is stabilized. But what I'm saying is it has been stated that this is going to be done differently and it will come into block grants. And that's my question is I would like to hear from the people involved in the process, does step two and three legitimately happen? Because if we stop at step one, we're in trouble.
Nick, it seems like there's an incredible rush to get this done when there's been 8 years of time for discussion, and yet there seems to be this giant rush.
It does seem that way, right? And it also seems like there will be no satisfying either side. And this is a situation where, again, we were mentioned back to TIC, but where every other country has a solution where their solution, the single-payer solution, or variations of it, costs a lower percentage of the GDP than what we have in place. So we have this scenario where there's a rush, that there's going to be compromises, where the Ryan Care will try and appease to the right and bring in moderates, but it's still not going to be an ideal system, and a system that is what the country needs to help those most in need.
As I pointed out, Ben, the reality is that Obamacare is really going down the same path as Ryan Care is in terms of costs to the public and to businesses. So something has to be done, right?
Certainly. I mean, during the whole campaign, the president as he campaigned, repeal and replacing Obamacare was a huge campaign line. So if he wants to get reelected 4 years from now in 2020, you have to do something between now and then if you want to fulfill that campaign pledge. So that's probably one reason, underlying reason, why you are seeing a huge push up front.
And there is no option to do nothing.
Right.
You're absolutely right. We can't just let it float.
Mary, along those lines, I think there's universal acceptance that Obamacare has some absolute flaws. And in a normal course of legislating, the Congress would have gone back and tried to fix those one at a time. I don't understand why the Republicans just don't fix those flaws, the problems with Obamacare, and call it victory and a new day and saying, it's Ryan Care, Trump Care, and now your health care works.
Yeah, I'm not that much of an expert on those internal parts. I know that they put seven bills forward under Democrat control, and it didn't get fixed. So, and that's such a—it's a lame excuse. It's an excuse that's used all the time now. It's like, well, the Democrats wouldn't want us. We put in this stuff, and the Democrats wouldn't pass it. Now we're in charge, and let's see what you can pass. Well, as long as we keep playing Democrat and Republican roles, we're screwed. And that's a technical term for radio. But you absolutely have to start working in a bipartisan manner, and you got to stop all the crap that's going on in Congress. We're not doing it here as badly. I will say this time, I thought it'd be more contentious in Nevada, and it isn't. There's more working together. But this other garbage, they won't fix it, Marlene.
Okay, I got a quick question for you two gentlemen, which is, Dick Segerblum was talking about for ESAs, he'd trade $1 billion in tax revenues. Your thoughts on what it would actually take? A quick answer.
Isn't going to happen,
Bottom line there. Nick?
The public education would love to see $1 billion of new revenue. I don't think that's going to happen, so we'll have to keep fighting to keep ESA funding out of it.
And as Tick said, no marijuana. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you. Safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators. From the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast from Carson City, State Senator Pat Spearman will join us.